Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Christmas message is revealing Jesus. So if I want to reveal Christ, I just want to reveal some of the sides of him. I'm like you. I love the promises. I love the peace. I love the Prince of Peace. I love all the good things that are associated with him that get me through my life. But when I scanned before I wrote anything down, Christ's life, just this is what came up on my screen in my brain. He pretty much caused havoc from the moment he was conceived. He was without sin, so I conclude in my flesh, gee, he'll have a smooth life without sin. But he didn't. He caused havoc. What about Joseph? You know, his, you know, adopted dad just kind of gets left out of the picture. Is a beautiful, humble man, so he copes with it, but he's kind of obscure. Mary, and a sword shall pierce your own heart. The wise men had to travel a heck of a long way, and I'll come back to that about short journeys and long journeys towards Jesus. Like, that was a really big journey. Some say years, some say months. The shepherds, I was reading, I thought, well, at least the shepherds had it good. They're just out in the fields. The angels appear, tra-la-la-la-la. Well, the angels that appeared must have been big dudes, like NRL players, like, whoo, because it says the shepherds were completely terrified. How's life going so far, Jesus? You haven't even been born yet. And we'll look at John the Baptist and his parents this morning. What about the religious cousins who put all the pressure on to not call him John? Have you got family relatives that are going to be difficult this Christmas? People are nodding their heads. And all the disciples ended up martyred. What? So it's sort of the whole scope's a bit scary, because to follow Jesus costs. And there's only one thing harder than not following Jesus, and that's living without him. We really need him to get us through life. But he's beautiful. At the same time, there's an awe, you know, a fear we have and an awe of walking with God in the right way, not because we're scared, just because we respect him so much and what he can achieve and what we can do. And I could almost get any person in the church to come out and tell us of some of the miracles they've experienced in their life. But we could also get any of you to come out and tell us, what was your time of terror where you thought, I'm going to go under here, and yet God got you through? So there's plenty of great stuff to reveal. I just wrote this. Your current Christmas trials are a bit like the birth of Christ trials, but maybe not as tough as what Zechariah and Elizabeth went through. So let me just read to you. It's kind of a long section, so I'm just going to highlight bits. It's in Luke 1, and it goes from verse 5 to 24, and then it goes from verse 57 to 62. But I'm just going to highlight bits. A priest named Zechariah, his wife was Elizabeth, both of them were righteous in the sight of God. Now, these people are really good people, right before God. But God still has to deal with some stuff, and he does. They were childless. Go down verse 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel says, do not be afraid. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Very significant. So this special child has to have the right name, the right identity. It's just important to the kingdom and the story of Christ going forward. So it's going to take some special parenting, as you would have found when your kids were born, the amount of love that showed up. It's unbelievable. I don't know what it's like for the wives. I think the wives just have this, oh, this baby will be so easy to love, I suppose, because it's already living in there and your nature's different. But for the men, it's like we're a bit scared. We thought, I don't know if the love's going to show up. And you have your first one, you think, how am I going to have enough love to go around for another one? But from the moment they're born, they instantly, you know that thing where they're just born, and you touch their hand and you go, look at how little, and they squeeze your finger and it completely breaks you and you burst into tears. And as you stop crying, you realise, oh, the love's there. It just comes. And so your children are special too. And it takes some unique parenting, doesn't it? And it takes some tricky parenting sometimes. You're to call him John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Whoa. And remember, the baby leapt in the womb later. And he will go on before the Lord, verse 17, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. And it goes on. Basically, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this is interesting. This is a righteous man responding to a visitation from heaven. It was fine with me how he responded. I thought it was a reasonable question, but God wasn't happy with it. The angel wasn't happy with it. Like, not, it wasn't evil. It was just an inadequate response for the situation because God got in a lot of trouble. So you think, oh, I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. Well, listen, you better get ready because you're going to drop on your face as though you're dead, and God will want a good response if he goes to that much trouble. How can I be sure of this? First time I read this, I thought, great question, right? Wrong question. How can I be sure of this? The angel goes on, I'm Gabriel. So this is like one of the most important angels in heaven. Verse 20, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my word. Wow. He wants us, to take him seriously when he speaks. That's why in my prayer time, if I feel he's saying something, I always write it down because it's too easy to forget when you're human. Verse 24, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. I realised it must have been a tough pregnancy. It wasn't just standard practice. So it was one of those ones where, I don't know, you're so crook or something is going wrong or the baby's just making it, where she has to actually be still and secluded. Everyone leave me alone. This is a full-on battle to bring this birth about. And don't forget, she is older and there could be complications. So we'll go over to verse 57, the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. I notice it keeps saying they, but I thought it was the parents' shop, but apparently in that culture, everyone gets a say. And there's strong tradition and strong expectation on the family name. It might be that before you had your, say, son, there might be four generations of your family and they all gave the name Lewis to the firstborn male. So there's this strong expectation. This is our family tradition. You better follow it, Jacko. And you go, oh, we're thinking of naming it something different. What? And they're all into you. On the eighth day, they came circumcised, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. They don't say it nice. This is full-on confrontation. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, watch this, I love this. This is the comeback. His name is John. It's like a statement of faith, and he lines exactly back up. He got only a little bit off track, but this is where he lines back up with what God's doing and how God's trying to use him and the blessing God's trying to put on him. His name is John. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue set free. And he goes on and does amazing things. So first point, lining up with what the Father is doing through Christ is an important challenge. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He's got intentions for your life and what he wants to do through you. I had this question at the start. What if God only had you to bring the revelation of Christ? Like, thank God we've all got each other because we've all can bring an aspect that no one else has got. I love that about the kingdom because on my own, hey, it's just not going to crack it. We really need each other. Name, identity, all the difficulties, ignoring bossy relatives, lining up with God's plan, and establishing new traditions for your kids. that they will eventually change on you, that you'd like them to keep, and they go, nah, we're not going to do that. Well, release them. You're not in control. Leave and clear. Applies to the parents as well. Let them go. Let them call the shots. They'll suffer for it if they get it wrong and learn. Pastor said he wants to sidetrack. He had a lot of money and he bought houses for all his kids in the same street. Sounded nice. Till they all started fighting with each other and going the same way. It was just didn't work well at all. Sorry, just had to throw that in. Brian Simmons, in a devotional I was reading about Zechariah and Liz, just said some really interesting things. So he's referring to the scripture, but the angel reassured Zechariah saying, don't be afraid, God is showing grace to you. This is grace. Doesn't look like grace, but it is grace. For I've come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Here's some of the things he says. Jesus is moved by the desires of your heart. Delay is not the same thing as denial. It's a matter of waiting for his perfect timing. So waiting on God's timing for the desires of your heart means some of your ways of manipulating it and trying to make it happen are going to be thwarted by God. There is a thwarting test for our plans. But watch this. Zechariah was an old man and his prayers for a child had probably ceased many years before his petition was granted. Like him, our answers may not come at a time that seems ideal. Life may have stolen our zeal for what once captivated our hearts. When suddenly God decides we're ready. God's ways seldom make sense to our natural mind. Despite our restlessness, he isn't stressed about meeting our deadlines. I just wanted to say this about my sister's life. She grew up with three difficult men in her life. My dad and her really loved each other, but they just fought non-stop. Then she has a Down syndrome son who she loves, but it's very difficult. There were huge tests and challenges with that, and that was difficult. She married a bloke who's a good guy, and I get on really well with him now, who's a policeman at the time, and he ran off with a prostitute who just a few years ago he'd had a shoulder operation and was out of hospital, and they used to fight a lot, and she stabbed him and tried to kill him while he only had one arm to fight back with. And it's like, so what he went through, and he's a beautiful guy, honestly, he helps so many people now, he's become a beautiful man. So I'm not putting him down, I'm just going, whoa, the costs. So she had this, and she was a very good personal assistant, it's a really high-level businessman, and anyway, she went out with a guy in the firm, and the boss didn't like it, and she got sacked. She applied for a job, and she ended up with a guy named Herman Marnie, who was a Swiss guy, and he was the head of some big company, but then it was a multinational, and he really liked her working for him. And he then became the head of a company called Sieber Geiger that was a big international, multinational company, and he then became the head of Santos Australia that you'd know now is one of the biggest companies in Australia. And she used to run all these conferences and do all the things. He was fantastic to her. It was like after difficult, 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 he just put this saintly, godly man, and I say godly in the terms of I don't know if he believed in God or not, but he treated her so well and was so good to her. And she went from, you know, $30,000 budget for a conference to $300,000 or $400,000 for a conference. From local conferences to national conferences to international conferences in some of the great cities of the world. And it was just like God's timing, eh? Difficult, 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 long journey. And then this sudden short journey into... So I just want to encourage you that his ability to pull off the desire of your heart is really, really powerful. His name is John, second and last point. One of the things that most strikes me about Jesus, like he's Jesus, right? Creator of the world, no sin, right hand of God, part of the Trinity. While he's on the earth, he doesn't make one decision out of his own will. He goes, I only do what I see the Father doing. What hope have we got? Thanks for the direction, God, but just let me, I've got this one covered, you know, like, yeah. So I'm not putting you down with that. I'm just saying the more we can flow with how the Holy Spirit leads us, the better off we will be. Because Jesus just didn't seek to do his own will. It still blows me out. And life has its up and down. I'm going to show you a little video. Don't put it on for one sec. I just want to set it up. Sorry for showing you my grandkids. It's very short. Jack and Lola. Jack's rough. Lola's very gentle. At Jack's house, he puts Lola on this little, I don't know what it is, Thomas the Tank Engine that you push, and he just goes flat out and slams her into the wall. And she didn't hurt herself, but she would cry. It scared her. And Dan played wrestling games with her and toughened her up. And then she would think it's okay. Not convinced, but he would smash her into the wall. Finally, Lola has her first go at pushing Jack on Thomas the Tank Engine. Let's see what happens.
Go, go.
Go.
Yeah, no. I'll
not push it.
Go, go. Go.
Ready.
Go.
Go.
Fast. Go.
Fast.
Go.
Go. That'll do. Go. It didn't hurt himself. No people were hurt in the filming of this video. I just like it because it shows the twists and turns of life. I want to say this. In the kingdom, there's a scripture that says, submit one to another. Because I have found in the kingdom, I've been under people and then those same people have been over me. I've had, you know, head of the family and all that stuff with Roz, and then she's on the state executive and then she's the senior pastor of the church. And so the shoe's on the other foot. It's like still kind of head in the home. We don't do that much. We just operate out of our strengths. And if there's a impenetrable barrier, I call the shot, and if I'm wrong, I tell her, and if I'm right, she goes, good call. And it works like that. But I just want to say, it swings. For example, when you were a kid, it seemed like your parents were in charge of you for a long time. One day they get old, and you get power of attorney, and you have to make the decisions, and it's not like you're trying to get them back or anything. But for me, when I had to do that for my dad, I didn't really want that power. I think I exercised it okay and tried to be careful to do it right for his good. But there's some power you don't want. When I had to have my dog put down, I had to call a shot. I put a chicken down this week. And I thought, I don't really want that power to decide the life and death of something. But you've got to do it out of responsibility. And I just wanted to say, even though that's a little funny thing, it's such an analogy of life, how the tide will turn and things change. It's amazing. Finish off. I just wrote this. I was thinking of the musos this morning because they've got this hands and tongue anointing. They can play an instrument and they can sing at the same time. I can't do both. I've either got to sing... I'll play the guitar. I can't even clap and sing at the same time. I've either got to clap or sing. I can't do both. I don't know what that is. But they can do this hands and tongue thing, and it just gave me the thought of, are your hands and tongue surrendered to God via your heart? Not in perfection, but just willing. Lead and win your own heart, and you may be surprised at what your hands and tongue can pull off for you. And I just wanted to finish with this thought as the musos come. Sometimes you have to do a long journey with God. Other times the journey's short. The wise men had a long journey. The innkeeper had a short journey. It sort of came to him on his property. I thought the weekend we got saved, I had to do a really long drive to Camp Bevington from Sydney to be at a camp that I only went to because Roz was going. I didn't want any other blokes to crack onto her. She was in her prime. She was unbelievably good looking. And so I went for the wrong reason, but I got saved there. I heard the gospel. I didn't respond to an altar call. I sat on the lake by myself, and for me, it was though he walked across the water and came to me. So it was a long journey to get the short journey. It's interesting, isn't it? The long journey first and then the short journey. He comes to you and we respond to him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.